book of Jude. We got through verse 5 last week and seeing about God's righteous retribution and how that He judges sin and He will not tolerate evil. And he's putting us in remembrance of some things. And last week, the first example was unbelieving Israel. God was not going to allow them to go into the promised land because of their rebellion against His authority. And then He also now goes to another case of rebellion and transgression, as we find the reprobate angels being mentioned there in verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Now, the second example of God's judgment against sin is found in the case of the reprobate angels who kept not their first estate. They were originally created by God as holy spirit beings, and they were assigned to specific functions and duties required by God. And according to our text, they were not content with the place and work that God had committed to their trust. One-third of the angels followed Lucifer in his rebellion against God. You know what he tried to do? He tried to usurp and overthrow the authority and the throne of God, and these angels were his willing accomplices in this act of high-handed treachery against the Most High. And because the angels kept not their first estate, they were judged by God. In this instance, they were cast out of His presence. And the ones in this verse are now chained in darkness, literally, awaiting the final judgment of God. And the idea of everlasting chains illustrates to us the hopeless and irrevocable condition that the reprobate angels are in. They have been fettered by God in darkness through the ages, reserved unto judgment as a testimony to the inflexible justice of a holy God when His authority is defied or usurped. Now, not all the angels, not all the reprobate angels are reserved unto judgment. Some are in the heavenlies, because Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers and high places. So we find, as we compare Scripture with Scripture, that there are some who have been chained in darkness, but not all. In fact, right now, Satan has his emissaries in the heavenlies. And I believe he's got them assigned to each and every city, each and every crucial part of our world, to wreak havoc and wickedness and sin and tempt to ungodliness and encourage abominable behavior. But you know, these angels here in our text that are chained in everlasting darkness, do you know, to add to their plight, these angels that kept not their first estate are going to be humiliated by God before the whole world, because God's going to subject them to the judgment of the saints. You know, the saints are going to judge angels. You know that? Let me show you. Keep your place there. Keep your finger there. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And look what it says in verse 2. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? The saints are going to judge angels. These angels that kept not their first estate are going to be subjected to the judgment of the saints of the Most High. How ironic! These spirit beings who are above man in the sense that they were created holy, who left not their first estate, would not submit to God's righteous rule, will be judged by the saints who humbly submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, do you know a lot of people in our day and age have the same brand of religion as the reprobate angels? You know what their religion was marked by? Rebellion, exertion of their own will above the will of God. And when you teach a salvation through man's mythical free will, people are attempting to usurp the authority and the sovereignty of God in salvation. When you place salvation in the power of man's fickle and sinful decision-making process, you attempt to take away the power of God to save and give it to men. Free willism, when you take it to its logical teaching, puts God at the mercy of man rather than man at the mercy of God. It makes man's will the moving cause of salvation rather than the free and sovereign grace of God. Ultimately and logically, it makes a man God unto himself with his will reigning supreme. You know what's being preached in most Baptist churches today? That the will of man is a prominent, exalted place in the scheme of salvation. Yet you'll never read where the will of man is ever associated. I'm going to show you something. You know who the first Arminian was? You know who the founder of the Arminian religion is and free willism? I'm going to show you who brought the 5 points to their being, the 5 points of Arminianism. Turn over to Isaiah 14. 5 times Lucifer made this statement, I will. You got the 5 points of Arminianism. Right here in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. What was it that got him kicked out of heaven? His will. You know, there's only 2 people in all the world that ever had a true free will. Satan and Adam. Only 2 people whose wills were created in perfection, but they were mutable. God's will is immutable. It's unchangeable. But man's will and Satan's will, they were mutable. They could be changed. And you know what? Both of them used the power of their will for evil, plunging the human race into depravity and sin. Satan said in verse 13, God says about him, for thou hast said in thine heart, what? I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Satanic religion is based upon trying to usurp the will of God by your own will. Do you know how men are born again? It's not by their will. Rather, it's by the will of God. I don't see how people who can read the Bible can pass over teaching so plain. Like John 1:13, it says, which were born not of blood. It's not hereditary. Salvation isn't. The new birth isn't. Nor of the will of the flesh. Men are not born again by something within their fleshly carnal nature. Nor of the will of man, but of God. How much plainer can you make it? Romans 9:16, so then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You better be careful what kind of religion you adhere to. You better be able to trace your salvation back to the will of God. The angels that kept not their first estate but defied the authority of God, what happened to them? They were judged, weren't they? Cast into everlasting chains of darkness to await the day when they'll be cast into the lake of fire. All right, now, there's another example. Turn back here. Still got your hand there? I told you to keep it there. Look back here now. Jude 7. Here's another example. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner. In like manner how? Rebellion. Defying authority. Giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. The third example of God's righteous retribution against sin is the destruction and damnation of Sodom and Gomorrah. Also, he says the cities of the plain, or cities about them, there were other cities involved in this that we don't hear much about. They were Admah and Zeboam. They were judged by God. He states exactly what they were judged for: fornication, sexual uncleanness, homosexuality. These people were given over to sexual uncleanness, which means that they were constantly indulging in excessive uncleanness, immorality, and the pursuit of fleshly lusts. Their entire way of life as a society revolved around illicit sexual behavior. They had defied and disobeyed God's lawful relationship as set forth in the Bible. You know what? There is only one relationship where the sexual union is permitted and lawful, and that is in the marriage bed alone. Anything outside of that is forbidden by God. Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and they shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. doesn't say that a man and a man become one flesh, or a woman and a woman. It's a man and a woman united together in holy matrimony, cleaving together, being glued together, as long as they both shall live. But instead of following God's ways, it says here that these people of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them went after strange flesh. They committed the sins of homosexuality and bestiality, which is going after beasts, both of which are condemned by God. Leviticus chapter 18. I'll read it for you. If you want to mark it down, you can. But Leviticus 18, by the way, there's 24 times nakedness is mentioned in Leviticus 18. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's the chapter where abomination is found more times than anywhere else in the Bible. When something is abominable, that means it is exceeding wicked and untasteful and ungodly in the eyes of God. And he says here, Leviticus 18, 22 through 24, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. I'm telling you, there was homosexuality, and all the perversions associated with it is nothing new. It's been going on for a long time, and I'm telling you tonight, it is a wicked, filthy, ungodly sin. God says it's an abomination. It's interesting that the sin of nakedness is mentioned 24 times in Leviticus 18, implying that the uncovering of the flesh leads to illicit and deviant sexual behavior. Going after strange flesh. We got that in our day. It's a strange thing for a man to go after another man sexually. The same with a woman. It's strange for a man to go after children. Yet these things are happening in our day. They will be judged by God. Though they may be hidden from the eyes of men, the all-seeing, omnipotent eye of God sees it all, and we have an example right here that He judges sexual uncleanness. God's judgment of these wicked cities was for the express purpose of setting forth an example of His vengeance against such wickedness. The cities were destroyed by God. For the life of me, I cannot understand how anybody who reads the Bible and really believes that it's the Word of God can ever put their stamp of approval or tolerance upon homosexual behavior. You know what God did to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? And mind you, God executed this judgment. It says, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and He overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. God judges this sin. You know what? God still judges sexual sin. Through sexually transmitted diseases, regardless what the liberals or the homosexual activists may say, any time a nation forsakes God's pattern of morality, they can expect judgment. I'm going to show you. I'm going to prove to you. Turn over to Deuteronomy 28. You know what? These kind of sermons are not being preached in America today. And that's why we have so much... I'm not advocating violence, physical violence against homosexuals. The judgment of God, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You leave that up to the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to stand around and let the homosexual activists poison the minds of my children. I'm not going to say that it's all right and that it's an alternative lifestyle and that you can do what you want. I say that it's wicked, it's filthy, it's ungodly, it's perversion of the worst sort. And we ought to teach our children that it is not right, but that it defies the laws of God. It's rebellion against God. And God judges it. Now look what I'm showing you, Deuteronomy 28 and verse 20. Here's what happens when you depart from God's ways and you there? 28 verse 20. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Now listen to what it says. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess thee. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. Verse 27, the Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. Now folks, many of the symptoms of AIDS and venereal disease are described right here. Young people, let me tell you something right now. You better keep yourself pure. You start fooling around, you may run into somebody that has AIDS. And it only takes one time. It only takes one time to contract that disease. So are you trying to scare these kids? Listen, folks, we don't live in a bubble. We don't live in a vacuum. It's real. The threat of AIDS is real. In our society today, venereal disease is real. Keep yourself pure. Young ladies, save yourself for one man, your husband. Young men, save yourself for your wife. I'll tell you how we can get rid of AIDS. How we can get rid of all this disease right now. If from this point forward, everybody no longer would use IV drug needles and would stop, the homosexuals would stop all their fornication and uncleanness. Now, that would stop it from this point on, with the exception of blood transfusions and stuff like that, but you'll never hear the Surgeon General coming out with that. It's not politically correct. But it's a fact. You stop deviant behavior, and you won't have the spread of these things. But how the nations of the world and the false teachers who promote sexual uncleanness need to take heed to the example of God's judgment upon the cities of the plain. We're living in a country that has literally been given over to illicit sexual behavior. Pornography, fornication, teenage pregnancy, violent crime, rape, child abuse, all of it. They're all tied right together. Homosexuality is being promoted as a viable alternative lifestyle when in fact, according to Romans chapter 1, it is a mark of reprobation. There's nothing right about it. God will judge all such transgressions in the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone, just as he did the ancient cities of the plain. We've seen two examples tonight where God does not tolerate when you defy his authority, when you fly in the face of principles that he has laid down. We saw it with the reprobate angels. They wouldn't stay where God put them. They kept not their first estate. He cast them down. Sodom and Gomorrah were given over to sexual uncleanness, to homosexuality, to perversion. What happened? God rained down fire and brimstone. We'll close with a quote from Warren Wiersbe. The sin of Israel was rebellious unbelief. The sin of the angels was rebellion against the throne of God. The sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was indulging in unnatural lust, unbelief, rebellion against authority, and sensual indulgence were sins characteristic of the false teachers. The conclusion is obvious. The apostates will be judged. But meanwhile, God's soldiers must stay on duty and see to it that these false teachers do not creep into the ranks and start to lead people astray. Take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine. I'm convinced that the homosexual movement would not have gained so much momentum and popularity if preachers would have been preaching against it back in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. Now you've got stinking preachers who say that it's just an alternative lifestyle. 2 years ago, they ran that front page abomination on the Herald Dispatch with that lesbian woman on the front page. And all of those lily-livered, weak tea, pink lemonade preachers saying that they thought it was all right. Man, that's wrong. You better stick with what the Bible says. God will judge. What's tolerated by men is not tolerated by God. That's a fact. Mark it down.